Okay. All right. Hopefully you can all hear me now. Sorry about that. The churches that we have here in Asia that are in Revelation, we're given this unique view from Jesus himself. I kind of wonder what it might be like if we had Jesus write a letter to our congregation and what he sees versus the way we see it. So I want to just talk briefly about that. Before we talk about that a little bit more, I want to thank those of you who are visiting for your presence here. We're glad that you're with us, and we hope that if you get a chance afterwards to meet us and talk to us, we have a visitor's packet that will describe some things about ourselves here, our work here, what we believe. And if you could fill out some information that we could contact you, that'd be great. But most importantly, we just would like to meet you and talk to you and hopefully build a relationship with you that is the relationship that God would have us to build. Within Revelation chapter 2, then, there is the message to the church at Smyrna. The church at Smyrna is one of the two churches that are not reprimanded. They're not given anything negative said about them. These other congregations are in danger in some way or another. Jesus says to them, you need to get your act together in this way. You need to return to your first love. You need to do something specific. The church in Smyrna gets no retribution, no rebuke, I should say, from God. But what we see at the beginning of this letter, I think, is interesting. He says in chapter 2 of Revelation, in verse 9, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich. And my Bible has that in parentheses, but you are rich. Just almost a passing phrase there. But it's a phrase I want us to think about for just a little bit. This church is apparently poor. We don't really know what this church looked like from the outside, what they looked like to other people, and that type of thing. We don't know what they thought about themselves. We're getting the view of Jesus from this church, which, as we said, is so fascinating. Despite their poverty, despite what it looked like on the outside, as far as their finances were concerned, they weren't rich. We know that much. That's what Jesus says. I know that you are in tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. You see, the way Jesus looks at them is not the way the world looks at them, and maybe not the way they looked at themselves. Jesus says this is a rich congregation. Over in the book of Ephesians, there's a lot of talk about riches. The Apostle Paul gives in Ephesians chapter 1, this is part of one of his prayers for them. He, in chapter 1, this was actually read this morning, but in chapter 1, in verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. He wants them to know about how wealthy they are because they are children of God. And again, over in chapter 3 in verse 8, chapter 3 of Ephesians in verse 8, he says, to me, the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. This is what I get to do. I get to spread the wealth of God's gospel to everyone. That's the task that's been given to me. And he's thankful for that. But he talks about it in terms of money, in terms of finances. It is riches. It is wealth. Now, I imagine that when we look at our financial sheets and our numbers for this congregation, we're going to find that we're doing pretty well. We have our budget, and we're probably doing under our budget, and so on and so forth. And I think by a lot of standards, the things we would look at of our finances, we are a rich congregation. We are a wealthy people. There are not a lot of people in this world that make as much money and can live in as much comfort as we're able to. And thankfully, thank God, we're able to contribute to one another and contribute to that work here. In that way, that is a blessing from God that he has given us. But our how rich our congregation, how well our finances are, as we can see in the Bible, is clearly not an indication of how rich we are. How well our congregation is doing is not something that can be seen by any outside measurement or by any worldly standard. The riches that God requires of us are the riches that He gives, the riches of His grace. And even a congregation like Smyrna that is poor, suffering by any stretch of, or by any way you might measure it, not doing well off by worldly standards, he says that's a wealthy congregation. And I think that's something we might ask ourselves when we think about our influence as a congregation. Are we known for our wealth financially, or are we known for our wealth spiritually? A question I think is good for us to ask. There's a famous story, A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. Probably everyone is somewhat familiar with it, at least familiar with Scrooge that has his all this money, and yet he's still unhappy. He's just this miser keeping this money, hoarding it to himself. And all these ghosts come to him and kind of make him realize that he's missing a lot of things in his life. He's holding on to this money, but he doesn't truly have happiness. Now, that's not necessarily something that it takes, a lesson that we learn from that is not necessarily something it takes the Bible to enlighten us about. Certainly, cultures and people who have accumulated wealth throughout the entire world and throughout history have understood, yeah, I've got all this money, but it still doesn't do anything for me. It's still not fulfilling me. I don't feel secure in those ways. But we understand from stories like that that money is not everything. And we understand from the Bible that same basic lesson, but the Bible goes one step further, and not just that money is not everything, but money is something else altogether. Wealth is counted in a way that it's not counted by in this world. And so that's why Jesus can say to that congregation, you are rich in good works, that they are wealthy, that you are rich. And that's what we see in Ephesians chapter 2 then. Ephesians chapter 2 talks about the wealth that we're supposed to have. And so in chapter 2 in verse 10, Paul says to them, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in him. If we want to be a rich congregation, if we want to be a wealthy congregation, we're going to have to be rich in good works, in forgiveness toward one another, and in the way that Christ treated his disciples and those around him, by serving and suffering for one another. That is the true measure of a wealthy congregation. And that will determine our influence spiritually better than anything else we might measure it by. And hopefully we can understand a little bit of that when we're trying to evaluate ourselves individually as well. That we are not rich according to our bank accounts. We are rich according to how much mercy and how much grace we can give to other people. And that's exactly what we see that our grace and wealth is supposed to come from God. Our earthly money, the things that we're blessed with physically, we understand those things come from God. Same thing is true of the wealth that we have spiritually in our good works. Go back in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. That's where our wealth comes from. And when we look at Christ, we don't see someone who came to earth and lived a wealthy life by any earthly standards, but we see the richest man that ever lived, because he was rich with the good works of God. He was so rich that we can see it in the cross and the giving that he did. He was rich in his healing of people. He was rich in his forgiveness of other people. And that's the standard by which we ought to measure ourselves as well. It's not our riches. We didn't learn. We didn't come to have the mercy, the forgiveness, and the spiritual nature that God has on our own. Those riches come from what we've seen in Jesus Christ. And so hopefully, as we go throughout our lives, we can take that into account, that we might be rich in good works. There are plenty of opportunities to serve one another, to reach out to people who aren't of our congregation and be rich towards them and spread our wealth in terms of time and our grace and our efforts toward other people. We can truly be a wealthy congregation if we will take advantage of the opportunities that God has given us, the resources that God has given us to bless one another and to bless the community that we live in through the grace and richness that God has bestowed on us. Now, by way of invitation this evening, I want to invite those who may be among us this evening who are not Christians, that you have a chance to do what you can't find on the infomercials, the get-rich-quick scheme. Not that it's the gospel is in any way that corny type of thing we see on television, but it is a means of wiping out any debt we have and immediately giving us a wealth of good works through the forgiveness of our sins. We want to offer you that opportunity this evening to become rich along with us as we strive to become even more wealthy every day in the good works of Jesus Christ. You can do that by washing away your sins in the waters of baptism. And maybe you're here this evening and you're pretty well off financially, or you're pretty content, but you understand that you really haven't been rich toward God. You haven't been rich in the way that Christ requires, that Jesus might look at you and see your wealth, but say that you are poor. Unlike the church in Smyrna, if that's been your case, you have a chance to repent of that and to start living a life of wealth and of good works. If we can pray for you or do anything for you of a spiritual nature, won't you come now while we stand, while we sing?